Well, my name is Father Pepley. It's great to be back here at St. Andrews. I was stationed here from 1990 to 1994. But what we're going to do is have a lot of fun talking about time management and how to use a day timer. Have all of you gotten a copy of this monthly sampler? Okay. Now, the purpose of this sort of seminar is not to sell you on using the Franklin Planner necessarily, because I don't get any commission, I don't work for them. It's just the time management system I've used over the last 10 years. If you have a day timer and you're happy with that, then that's great. Then use your day timer. Some people might even have one of those computerized Palm Pilots and pocket calendars. You can use whatever works for you. What I'm going to do is explain this system to you, because this is one I've been using for quite a while. And I have two handouts. Have all of you gotten the two handouts? Okay. What I've done is that I've taken the time management seminar through the Franklin Planner on two different occasions in Washington, D.C., when they come in and do the seminar, usually for corporations or companies, and then they also run seminars for anybody that would like to attend. I think it's like a $200 seminar, if I'm not mistaken. At least it was like 10 years ago. So I'm going to give you this information for free, okay? Or maybe what they charge you, maybe $10 or something like that. Well, I guess that went towards this book and towards the snacks and the food and the breakfast. So I've also bought the tapes of the seminar. These are the tapes, and I've listened to these about four or five times over the last 10 years. And what I'll try to do is condense everything into like an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes, and that includes some opportunities for you to ask some questions. What I think that might be the best place to start is just explain a little bit about this sample month that we got and help you set this up. And since it is July 15th, what I'd recommend is at least try this system for 2 weeks and see how you like it. Use it for the rest of the month of July, and then if you want to go back to what you're using in August, that's certainly it's entirely up to you. Like I said, use whatever works for you. What I recommend first is just put your name in the upper right-hand corner or somewhere in the book, because they all look alike, and if you happen to leave it around, since you are going to be writing some information in here, you might not want to lose this particular sample monthly calendar. And then after that, go over to page 7. And what you have here is an undated monthly calendar. And what I'd recommend is that you fill out the numbers for the month of July and use this for the month of July. The way you want to do that, even since it only gives 4 weeks and it's actually 31 days in July, what I did was, where it says Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, under that line, I put Sunday the 2nd, Monday the 3rd, Tuesday the 4th, Wednesday the 5th, Thursday the 6th, and then 7th and 8th. So begin by 2 through 8, and then 9 through 15, and that means that you're putting it on correctly, that today would be Saturday the 15th. And then, again, the last 2 weeks would be the 16th to 22nd, 23rd to 29th. And what I did, just so we didn't lose the first of the month or the 30th and 31st, was I just drew a little box above the 8th here, and just so that would be for Saturday the 1st of July, and then I just drew a box here for the 30th of July and the 31st of July. And on this line above the calendar, I just wrote July of the year 2000. One of the nice things about the Franklin Planner, or usually any day timer, will be the month at a glance, and that's very helpful when you're organizing your month. For example, if you have to schedule appointments, whether a doctor's appointment, dentist appointment, other activities, vacations, retreats, days of recollection, seminars, the month at a glance is very helpful, because then you just open it up and you see what you are going to be doing for that entire month. For example, if you went to 9 o'clock Mass this morning, or on Saturday the 15th, you'd want to just put you don't have to write large, because as you know, there's not much space there. You can just write 9 o'clock and then Mass, and then let's say 10:30 to 12:30, you could just write seminar. Once you at least put those down, that way you'll get started on using this kind of a monthly calendar. So like 10:30, 12:30 seminar. Again, write small. What I've done is that the Franklin system also has a two-page monthly calendar. So this is what I use. For me, writing this small was very difficult. So what I do is I just pay an extra like $8 a year and get the monthly tabs that are on two pages. So it gives you plenty of room to write and to see your month at a glance. And I think the two-page calendar is fantastic. Does everybody have the month at a glance set up? Now, you can even start using this if you have other activities. Let's say on, Tuesday you're taking the kids to Busch Gardens, just write, Busch Gardens. Or let's say next Saturday you're going to a wedding at 2 o'clock, so just write 2 o'clock, George and Martha, wedding. Or let's say you're going to this weekend, tomorrow, let's say you're going to go to the 10 o'clock mass, so you can just write 10 o'clock mass, then you're going to take the family out for brunch, so you put 11 o'clock brunch. The afternoon you have to go visit Aunt Selma over in Arlington, you can just write Aunt Selma. So just make yourself little notes on this, and you can start filling this out in the remainder of today and over the next few days. If you turn the page, on page 8, you'll see what's called a master task list. And one thing I like about this is that, let's say during the month of July, there are certain things you want to get done during the month of July. For example, your garage might be a mess, okay? So you might just put under the master task list, you'd write the word July above that, because this is some things you want to do during the month of July. And then you can fill that up with maybe 3 or 4 or 10 things that you would like to do sometime during the month, but they don't actually have a scheduled date yet. For example, you might put clean out garage as an example. Some things that have been on my monthly task list would be put photos in photo albums, because you get this big stack of photos that people give you over the years and they're sitting in the shoebox, and you really want to get those into your photo albums to make your life a little bit more organized. I have things like, take things to St. Vincent de Paul, like try to clean out the closet and try to take the old clothes down to St. Vincent de Paul or to the thrift store. Those ideas are things you would like to do during this month, but you don't actually have a set date. Let's say your tags on your car will expire this month, so you know you have to go to DMV sometime this month. And so you'd write DMV. Or let's say your tooth is hurting and you have to go to the dentist, so you can just write dentist. So these are things you want to get done before, let's say, August 1st. And one of the ways in which this system or any time management system can save you some time is that, for example, the busiest times at DMV are the last 2 days of the month, okay? As you well know, sometimes there's a 2-3 hour wait. Well, with this kind of a system, you'll know that you have to go there sometime during the month, and this will remind you, hey, let's go during the beginning or during the middle of the month, and so you might be able to save 2 hours just like that. Other things can be just as helpful in putting things down in regards to personal life and business life. There were, trying to think of some other ideas. So for example, since I just moved, there are things I have to organize. I have to put all my books in order, that's on my list. Organize all my audio tapes, that's in another list. Call certain places to have my mail transferred down there. So there's a lot of things that you'll be able to put on there for yourself. At the bottom, you'll see some monthly goals for business and personal. Those are up to you, whatever you feel like putting down on that list. Then, on the next page, page 9, you'll see what's called the index, the monthly index. And again, this would be for the month of July. The index, you might want to write in parentheses next to it, table of contents. Because this you can use for your table of contents for the month of July. And I'll show you how that can work. I'll just give you one example of that. Halfway down the page, you might want to write the numbers 15 for the 15th of July, which is today's date. And then you could write, let's say, notes from seminar or time management seminar, and you could write it there. And that would be the case, let's say you decided to take your notes from today's seminar in this book itself, and it would be appropriate, for example, to write down today's notes on the page of July 15th, which is on page 39. So let's say you turn to page 39, and that would be for Saturday, July 15th. And this whole right-hand page, you could take notes from today's seminar on this right-hand page. And let's say you want to then retrieve this information at a later date, but you forget what day the seminar was. That's why if you write it on your index for the month, you'll know that on the 15th, you attended the seminar, and that's where your notes are found on the page for the 15th of July. Question for you, how many of you, let's say, already used the Franklin Planner? I see a show of hands. Okay. So maybe about a half a dozen. How many of you use some other kind of a date timer? I see a show of hands. Okay, another half a dozen. How many of you use, let's say, one of those electronic Palm Pilots? Anybody use that? Okay, nobody? Okay. How about just one of those calendars that hangs in a refrigerator? Okay, about a dozen. How many of you don't particularly use any kind of a calendar right now? Okay, very good. The young folks, the kids, very good. Well, once you learn this system, you're going to be very dangerous. That's fantastic. You're never going to forget appointments, and you can have a lot of fun with this as well for remembering birthdays and anniversaries and all sorts of wonderful things. So now turn to page 38 and 39, and we'll sort of set up this day at a glance. So we've already looked at the month at a glance. We've set that up. And now we want to turn to the 15th of the month. So in the upper left-hand corner, write today is Saturday, July, the year 2000. Okay, the secret to success in any field is discipline. Is discipline. Consistent self-discipline. I'll give you the best definition of discipline if you want to write this down. You can even write it on the right-hand page if you want to, or if you're taking notes on another page, that's fine. But discipline is doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Isn't that a great definition?
Yeah.
Discipline is doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. So to be successful in running a marathon, you have to have discipline and training and proper nutrition and exercise. To be successful in a business, it requires a great deal of self-discipline, of getting up early and working hard and making a lot of phone calls and visiting people. To be successful as a parent requires a great deal of self-discipline. As a student requires self-discipline in working on projects and studying and doing book reports. Even the spiritual life, as you know, requires a great deal of discipline. And daily discipline, such as daily prayer and waking up and saying the morning offering and perhaps even attending Mass each day. Many people will say the rosary each day and have spent some time in prayer, to do night prayer, spiritual reading, regular confession every month or on a regular basis. So the spiritual life also requires discipline. So that's the answer to your question, is how to make this system work is to ask God for the grace to be self-disciplined, and then to work through your own effort as well to be self-disciplined. That's only the first half of the answer, though. The second half of the answer is to spend time each day in planning and solitude. 10 minutes would be enough. I like to do it the night before. For example, last night I was working on things I need to do today, and I spent about 10 minutes last night at my desk planning today's day. So I would say, besides self-discipline, what you want to do is spend at least 10 minutes in planning the next day. Some people wake up early in the morning and do it in the morning for that day. I prefer doing it the night before, because then in a sense your subconscious can sort of work on it ahead of time. So there's a saying that 1 minute in planning will save you at least 10 minutes in execution. Now, I think that's true. And an example I'd like to use, let's say you have to go into Washington, D.C. to meet somebody for a lunch appointment or for some other appointment. Well, you're not really sure where that restaurant is or where that place of business is, so you get your map out. And you might spend 2 minutes looking at the map and plotting where you need to go. That might save you 20 minutes of being lost. Okay, so I think it's a 1-to-10 ratio. Every minute you spend in planning will save you, I believe, 10 minutes in execution, which means if you spend 10 minutes planning, you're going to save perhaps an hour, or you're going to get at least an hour more of productivity the next day. Yes? Okay, so the thing is, what if you lose your planner? The answer is, never lose your planner. Never lose your planner. Never, 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 never. Okay, the reason why I say that is because the planner, within a few days of using it, becomes so incredibly valuable, you would never want to lose it. Mine happens to be this size here, which is called a classic size. They also have a pocket, compact, this is classic, and then there's Monarch, which is 8.5 by 11 pages, which a lot of friends of mine at homeschool, the mothers use that because they can have all their handouts and their things. A lot of teachers use the Monarch size because for lesson plans, for the regular size, 8.5 by 11. So you never want to lose it. I carry it with me all the time, except when I'm saying mass and things such as that. If I go into somebody's home, let's say for a house blessing or for a dinner, I usually leave it in the car because I don't really need it inside the house. However, I will need it to get to the house because I will have in here on that right-hand page, I'll have things like the family's name, the names of the kids, the phone number of the family, the address of the family, and directions to their house. And you might say, well, how can you retrieve that at a future date? Well, it'd be pretty easy. Let's say if I was going over there this evening, I would just put on that monthly index, I could put, again, the 15th for the 15th of July, and I could put the Jones family, and that way I would be able to retrieve that information rather easily if I needed it again. Or I could just put that information in my address book and with their name, phone number, and address. And I can even write small and put little directions, which I have done on many occasions as well. So some tips on how not to lose your planner is have it with you all the time. Usually you can keep it in your house, on your desk. Mostly mine's kept on my desk. If I go out, I will take it with me because it has everybody's phone numbers and addresses. It has my appointments that I schedule. And somebody once said that if you don't want to lose it, you know, put a $50 bill or a $100 bill inside this little zipper case, because then it becomes like a wallet. You don't really lose your wallet or your purse unless somebody tries to steal it from you. Generally, people will not lose something if they consider it very valuable. So if you have a $100 bill, stick it in there, and I guarantee you're not going to leave it lying around somewhere. It's always going to be with you. One couple I read about wrote their wedding vows in their planner, and they walked up the aisle with their planner under each arm, and they read their vows from the planner. Now, what is time management? Time management is really the control of events. The control of events. A lot of events are out of our control, such as the weather and other people and things that you can think of on your own, but there's many things that we can control, such as how we spend our time each day generally, appointments that we would make and things that we need to do or things that we have to do. So time management really is the management of events or the control of events. And really, one nice thing about time is that nobody has any more time than anybody else. Everybody's given a fair share of time. Everybody's given 24 hours a day, which is very fair. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I had the amount of time he has, I could do more. But the thing is, everybody has the same amount of time. Everybody has 24 hours a day. So in a sense, we're all millionaires when it comes to time. There's no such thing as a pauper, no such thing as somebody has any more time than anybody else. Everybody has the same amount of time. And how we spend that time, though, is up to us. See, money is something that some people might have $1 million, some people might be bankrupt, and yet a millionaire and a bankrupt person both have 24 hours a day. So it's what we do with that time. Another aspect of time management is priorities. We always do what we value. We always do what we have a priority. Whatever priority we have, we tend to do that. For example, some people have a priority that they have to watch a certain TV show every week. whatever that show might be. I really don't watch any TV or just very little TV. For example, I usually like to watch four times a year the U.S. Open, the British Open, the Masters, and the PGA. I will try to watch those, but it's only four times a year. But that's something that even if I'm doing baptisms, weddings, funerals, masses, confessions, I will tape it and then try to watch it that night. But I know people that, like, every Monday night at 9 o'clock, they have to watch a certain show, and that's a priority for them, and so they put that down. There are people that play tennis twice a week, or they go to the gym three times a week. The reason why they do what they do is because that's a priority. And so when somebody says, do you have time to go out to lunch with me, or do you have time, you know, you can never say, no, I don't have time. Did you know that? We say it because we're polite and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't have time to go to your banquet and to give a talk. It's just that you've decided to use that time for a higher priority that you value. You know, when you think about it, it is true that if somebody says, do you have time to stop over and visit me? Hopefully, let's say we could say, yes, yeah, I can stop by, I have time for that. But you could also say, well, I already have a previous commitment that I've already made I can't get out of. But there's really no excuse I don't have time to do that. Because you have time to do really whatever you want to do. If people want to go to daily mass, and if that's a priority, they will be able to work that out. If they want to say the rosary every day, if it's a priority, they will do that. If they want to watch a show every day of the week, they will do that. If you want to play golf once a week or tennis once a week, you will do really whatever is a priority. So you can tell what your priorities are in life by looking at how you spent your time this past year, this past month, this past week, yesterday. Because whatever you've done, obviously, is how you allocated your time for what you value and what was a priority to you. Okay, that's a very good point. If we did keep a time log, which I would recommend that you do, at least for the next week or so, write down everything you do that day. For example, people that want to lose weight, the doctor says, well, write down everything you eat for a week. And that way you really see where you stand. So you could write down everything you do, from stopping to get gas, to going to the supermarket, to doing the laundry, to cooking the meals, to cleaning, to going to work, to commuting in the car. So you can then determine really how you spend your time. And there are ways. The average American family, the television's on between 3 to 5 hours a day. And so there are ways that you can gain an extra 2 hours a day just by cutting out television time. Or you can gain one or two extra hours of education a day by listening to audio tapes in your car rather than just listening to the radio, music, for example. Now, talk radio can be very educational. There's some very good talk radio programs on the air, and that would be educational. But just listening to music in the car will not help you to achieve your goals in life. Earl Nightingale once said, do what is goal achieving rather than tension relieving. It's tension relieving to listen to music in your car, but it's not going to bring you any closer to your goals or objectives in life. So I would recommend that you try to keep a time log and to see where you stand. And there's a difference between important tasks and urgent tasks. Urgent tasks might not always be important, and important tasks usually aren't urgent. An example of this would be, let's say you want to become a better parent, and you know there's a wonderful book out there about parenting, but you just haven't had time to read it. Now, it's important in your life that you read that book on parenting, but obviously it's not urgent. Whereas a ringing telephone is urgent, it might not be important. Then again, it may be important. But they say the reason why people don't read books is because they don't ring. You know, they just sit there, and they don't attract our attention. So urgent things might not be important, and important things usually aren't urgent. And yet some of the important things would make a tremendous difference in our life if we did these things. So saw another hand up. Let's see. Okay, we'll come back. one of the benefits of writing things down is that once you write things down, it becomes clearer, it helps you to prioritize things, and it really does help your mind be more at ease. For example, let's say you're lying in bed and an idea comes to you. The worst thing to do is just to continue lying in bed and try to think, well, I hope I don't forget that tomorrow morning. I hope I don't forget that. The best thing to do is to write it down, and then you can sleep like a baby, right? But babies don't sleep very well. They get up every hour and cry, you know, so I don't know where that expression came from. However, if you do write something down, you'll be able to clear your mind from it because it's written down. There's an ancient Chinese saying that says, the weakest ink is stronger than the best memory. So even faded ink will be more powerful than the best of memories. So if you can write things down, it can make a big difference. I found that to be very helpful as well. If you get an idea when you're driving in the car, write it down. You would never imagine a builder or an architect trying to build a house without a blueprint. So you first write things down, you have a blueprint, and then you work from that. And so all good plans are written down. Goals should be written down. Objectives should be written down. Once it's written, you won't lose it. You won't forget about it. One interesting thing that we could do is, I don't know if there's a piece of chalk up here. Is this chalk right there? Okay, great. I want all of you to draw a line going across the page. It doesn't matter what page you use. If you want to use the right-hand side of the July 15th, you can do that. But they did this in the time management seminar. I thought it was pretty interesting. Okay, you just draw a line over here, from here to here. And on the one side, you want to write birth. This represents your whole life. Birth. On this side, you want to write death. And so between your birth, which took place already, and your death, which is going to take place, that's something we're all very well aware of, something we cannot escape. This is the amount of time that God gives you. We don't know how many years it'll be. For some people it's 10 years, for some it's 50 years, for some it might be 80 or 90 years. So then I want you to draw a line somewhere on this of where you are right now. So for example, if you're very young, like you, how old are you?
13.
13, okay. You know, you might be like right about here, huh? Okay. Or you could be here. You never know. Draw a little line where you think you might be. Let's say if you're 80 years old, you might be about here. You know, one guy who was 70 and he put his thing right about there. Right in the middle. So he expected to live to be 140. But one of the benefits of this is that it does give us a reality check that we are going through life, and between our birth and our death, God gives us a certain amount of time to do with what we can to grow in holiness, to try to get to heaven, to bring other people closer to God, to spend time with your family. In fact, I'll go through that in a few minutes. That wheel, that chart I gave you can help you with values and goals. Well, what's interesting thing about this is that, I mean, let's say you happen to be right here on this line, for example. You never know. Everything on the left side of today's date, which is July 15th, is sort of what we call dry cement, because it's over and done with, and everything in there is dry. There's nothing you can do to change the past. Everything on this side, the cement is still wet. So how we live the rest of our life is up to us in deciding how we want to live. So when they did that at the seminar, I thought that was interesting, so I thought that was something I'd pass on to you. Some of the tips, just the general tips of time management, would be to use only one working calendar. And you want to certainly try to coordinate your calendar with your spouse, if you're married, and with your children, if they're in high school or college and you need to coordinate calendars. Use only one working calendar. It's okay to have other calendars on the refrigerator and things like that, provided that you really don't use them for the time management system. The second thing is to keep the day timer always with you or near you. To spend time in planning and solitude the night before or that morning. One of the principles of a day timer is the fact that it will, really will help to simplify your life, to give you greater sense of control and fulfillment. It certainly does that. Because when a person is out of control, they're not very happy, right? If somebody comes up to you and says, you know, my life is out of control, that's not a good state to be in. If we can at least be good stewards of our life and be in control as much as we possibly can, it can bring a great deal of peace and inner happiness. As long as we realize that God is ultimately in control of everything, we can't deny that. God is in ultimate control. However, we should be good stewards of creation. We should be good stewards of our money, good stewards of our time, good stewards of our health. One of the benefits of a day timer is that it becomes your portable desk. Your portable desk. Before I started using a day timer system, and this was given to me 10 years ago when I was newly ordained, one of the parishioners of St. Clair's, Elfie Stitz, gave me the Franklin Planner. And really for the first year, I really didn't use it that well. I would write down an occasional appointment, but I never used it really for goals and values and all those other things. But after I went to the seminar, then I really began to make use of it, more so than just using it as a monthly calendar, but using it for values and goals and many other things. So it became my portable desk. See, before I had a system, my desk was a mess. I had papers all over it, little tiny scraps of paper, notes about this, and people's addresses and phone numbers, and all sorts of little scraps of paper, these floaters that were always around. After I began using this time management system, my desk is perfectly cleaned off, and everything is a lot more in control than it was before. It really did help me to organize, and I'm sure it will do the same for you. Now, there are little scraps of paper that are acceptable. Let's say you go out and you get a gas receipt, and you need to save the receipt. Or you go out for lunch, and you need to save the receipt. So that's why you can put something in an inside pocket or in a zipper. So those kind of things are acceptable. If people hand you their business card, you know, that's, you can keep those things. But what I would recommend, the other tiny scraps of paper, even things such as shopping lists and other things, it would be best to write everything down in the planner. And there are ways to do that. There are sections in the back where you could write your shopping list. And you don't have to take your whole planner into the supermarket. You can just pull out the page, and just like you take a list, you can take this, and when you're done, you can stick it back inside your planner. What I think we could do now is just describe what's on page 38 and 39 in a little bit more detail. What you have here on the far left-hand side is a prioritized daily task list. Does everybody see where that is? This is something like a to-do list, but it's better than a to-do list because oftentimes to-do list, there's no priority. And so here, these are things you want to do that day, and then you prioritize them. For me, what occurs in a lot on the left-hand side are phone calls I have to make because I get a lot of phone calls, and every time I get a little slip of paper from the secretary, I transfer the name and that phone number to that left-hand side of a prioritized daily task list because it's somebody that I would need to call back. Then I can throw away that little slip of paper, don't have to deal with it anymore because it's already in my list. And many times it happens that a week later, 2 weeks later, I have to call that person again. Now, if I had thrown out the slip, I would have been in trouble. However, I have my previous pages from that whole month. In fact, from the last 10 years, I could tell you everybody I ever called or everything I ever did for the last 10 years because it's all kept in storage binders. This, of course, is the planner. And I forgot, I was going to bring up a storage binder to show you what that looks like. But it's just something I keep on my bookshelf next to my desk. And that has all the daily pages for the previous years that I've used the planner from 90, 91, 92, 93. Now, in the particular planner, you only keep 3 months of pages. You keep last month, the current month, and next month. Because the planner isn't that thick to keep you know, you don't want it to be that heavy and that thick of keeping 30 times 12 number of pages, because that would be, you know, 1,000 or whatever pages. So you only keep last month, this month, and next month of daily pages in your calendar. However, you keep the monthly tabs, the month at a glance, you keep for the entire year and in future years. Like, this is the month of August. September, October, November, December, January 2001, February, March, April, May, June, July. Mine goes up to September of next year, of September of 2001, of monthly calendar. So when I need to schedule weddings for couples, when I need to schedule retreats or vacations or pilgrimages, I can schedule things very far in advance. And after the monthly pages are done, then you have future calendars for the entire year of 2001, 2002, 2003. Mine goes up to 2004. So you can schedule lunch with somebody in the year 2004. If you have this system, you think, okay, let's meet. Now, the restaurant might not be in existence anymore, but you can at least schedule lunch, you know, 5 years in advance if you wanted to, or a vacation or a trip or whatever you'd like to do. So there are 3 months, as I said, of daily pages kept in the book, last month, this month, and next month, but you have all your monthly calendars for the next year or two that you can still schedule things far in advance. Now, getting back to page 38, the prioritized daily task list would be things that you want to do that particular day, projects that you want to do, people that you want to call, things that you have to do. Underneath that are daily expenses. Let's say your company reimburses you for certain things. You could just write that down here, save the receipt. But they do recommend that you do keep all your daily expenses, at least for a couple weeks. Try it for a couple weeks. Anytime you spend anything, whether it be $5 for a sandwich or $200 for groceries, just write it down there. And again, it's another way to keep track on expenditures. Next to it, on the right-hand side of the left page, would be the appointment schedule. These are actual commitments that you have to do at particular times. This is different than projects or things that you'd like to do for that day. In a sense, the prioritized daily task list are things that you want to do in non-discretionary time, or in discretionary time, of things that you have the ability to do on your own. The appointment schedule is non-discretionary time. That means these things that you have to do at a certain time. In other words, your time is already allocated under the appointment schedule. For example, you can start filling this out even for today. Let's say, for example, I got up around 7:30 this morning and I worked for about an hour on different things I had to do for today, in preparing my homily for tonight, and doing my Saturday morning homily, and brushing up and making Xerox copies for today's seminar. So I put like 8 o'clock work at desk, and for me, I knew what that meant. 9 o'clock, I had Mass. So let's say you went to Mass at 9, I just write 9 o'clock Mass right there. Let's say if you went to Mass at 9, just put that there. 10:30, you would write time management seminar and then draw a line down to 12:30. And then after that, let's say you have to meet somebody at 1 for lunch, you could put lunch with so-and-so. For my schedule, like the rest of my schedule today, just for example, would be I have 2:30 baptisms. I have to do 3 baptisms at 2:30. I have confessions at 3:30. That'll go to 4:30, so I could draw a line down to 4:30. I'm saying the 5 o'clock Mass tonight, and then I have confessions again from 6 to 7. And then I'm getting together with my family tonight at Wolf Trap for the Jugglers, the Flying Karamazov Brothers. You going to be there? Okay, good. So 8:15, Wolf Trap, okay? So that's a typical Saturday schedule for a priest, or maybe not for every priest, but for some priests. However, those are things that you're committed to do for that day. Now, you just might have the afternoon free, so you could leave that blank. And then in the far left column, prioritize daily task list, you might have shopping, you might laundry, you might have cleaning or cooking. And if you want to, you could even put some of those things. Let's say you know you want to go shopping at 3 o'clock, so you could just put 3 o'clock shopping. So that is very helpful. What I like about this system is that you have a whole day. This is one day right here, which is great. Plenty of room to write. So you have the things you want to do that day, your appointments that you have to do that day, and on the right-hand side, you can fill up with many different things. Let me tell you some of the things you can put on the right-hand page. For me, I will put notes from different talks that I might be attending a seminar. I'll take notes on that right-hand side. You can use it as a journal. Let's say you come across a beautiful poem or something that you want to write your thoughts and reflections. You can use that on the right-hand side. Ideas that you come across for your business, you might want to write those down there. Let's say you're making airline reservations on that particular day, but it's for 2 months later. I'll show you how you can retrieve that information in a minute. But let's say you're talking to the person at the ticket agency, and they give you all the flight times of when you're going to leave and when you're going to arrive. That can all go on the right-hand side as well. So on the right-hand side, I find it very helpful to put phone conversations or phone agendas. Let's say you have to call somebody about, and you need to cover 5 topics with that person. Let's say your boss or your employee. And you can just write down the person's name, Tom Smith, put a line under it, and put the 5 things you want to talk about with that person. That can go on the right-hand side. So phone conversations is very helpful. Phone agendas, as I mentioned, meeting agendas. Let's say you're going to be running a short meeting. Put meeting and then a line under it and then write the order of the meeting on the right-hand side. That can be very helpful as well. People will even use the right-hand side for shopping lists and for many other things. So use it for whatever you feel that would be pretty helpful for you. Now let's say, I'll use the example of you just made airline reservations for that. Let's say you're going on a trip on September 8th, but you're making reservations today. You could put all the information about your flight arrival and departure here on the right-hand side of July 15th. What you would then do is you would then, and unfortunately you don't have it in this book, but what I would do then is I would go to September 8th, okay? And on September 8th, I would say flight. And in parentheses, I would put 7/15, July 15th in parentheses, okay? So that means that on that day, let's say if for some reason I don't get my tickets in the mail or if I'm doing electronic ticketing or something, I know that all the information that I talked about with the ticket agency is on the 15th of July. That's very easy. You put September 8th flight, 1 o'clock, and then parentheses 7/15. So then you can easily retrieve that information if you have to. That's one of the nice things about this particular system. Well, okay, great question. What about things that just come up? And things will do this all the time. You will have, like as a mom or as a dad, things that will come up. Again, try to write down as much of the things as you can. For example, if you have a soccer tournament or a soccer game or you have to do this or that, you can write that down in your appointment schedule. But there will be other things that come up. One suggestion is to write it down on the left-hand side, okay, as something that you might need to do. It does help even to write it down, even though you don't think you have to write it down. It does help to write it down and then to look at it in the light of everything else that you want to do and are committed to do. Sometimes when you write things down, it takes on greater urgency or less urgency. So I would write it down anyway. So you do write it down on that left-hand side of prioritize daily task list. And if something comes up, you just do that, and then you just cross off something else that you were going to do that day. Things will come up quite a bit. You can't be so scheduled. And the purpose of the planner is not to give you less time, it's to give you more time with your family, more time for spirituality or prayer, more time for the things you want to do. Well, there are many time-saving techniques that you can use. There's all sorts of things you can use, such as the answer machine could be quite helpful. Say you're having dinner with your family, to put the machine on is a good idea. That way you're not interrupted. from people soliciting, trying to sell you this or that, the Ginsu knives and whatever else they're selling that day. So you will have interruptions. Sometimes it's good to go to a different room where you know you won't be interrupted, where you can go off. Or a lot of times, people will, let's say they want to make a holy hour during the day and they just want to go to church. That's nice because then they won't be interrupted by the phone. So they can just go to the church and spend an hour with our Lord. And you can even put your holy hour, if you happen to make a holy hour, on your appointment schedule, that from 7 to 8 in the morning, that's just put Jesus there. Okay, that's your appointment with Jesus. And so then you set that up, or you could just put 7:30 Mass or 9 o'clock morning Mass, put that on there. There's tons of time-saving techniques that people use, like the answer machine, I think is very helpful. And what I would recommend is, if you want more information about time management, this is a wonderful program by Brian Tracy. I'll pass this around. You can take a look at it. It's 6 audio tapes, and it covers things such as saving time with others, time management for salespeople, establishing priorities, getting organized, setting goals and objectives, time-saving techniques. That covers about phone calls and overcoming procrastination. I'll pass this around. If you want a copy of this, there's a 1-800 number from Nightingale Conant. You can get this. And I'll pass this around if you'd like to look at it. That's my autographed copy from Brian Tracy when I attended his seminars. He signed it for me. I'll pass this around too. This is a videotape on time management. He's Brian Tracy. It's 21 tips for time management. And I also have on my website, one of my tapes that I have is Tips for Better Time Management, where I summarize his 21 tips. So I do have a tape on where I summarize his videotape. Okay, other questions? Yeah. Well, that's fine. This is a good point because this particular one, actually, the Franklin Planner and the Covey, Stephen Covey, the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, they combined about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So now it's the Franklin Covey system. And a lot of people will ask about this because they say, isn't that run by the Mormons down in Salt Lake City? And I don't know if it's run by the Mormons, but I don't think it is run by them. But I think Stephen Covey happens to be Mormon, and Hiram Smith happens to be Mormon. It's a wonderful tool. In fact, though, it's named after Ben Franklin. It's called the Franklin Planner, named after Ben Franklin, which is interesting. You should read his autobiography. The Autobiography of Ben Franklin is a wonderful book. And in there it talks about developing virtue and setting goals and doing like an examination of conscience, which he learned from the Jesuits when he was in France as an ambassador. So really, even though it's a great deal of a Mormon kind of a planner, there's a very Catholic idea underlying it from Ben Franklin, who got it from the Jesuits in France. So anyway, that's an interesting little side point. I'm glad you brought that up. But what I would say is, if you prefer using a day at a glance or a week at a glance, use whatever works for you. I got used to the day at a glance, but some people don't really need a day at a glance. They prefer a week at a glance, and you can get that up at the store as well. I think there's a store in Tyson's near the Rainforest Cafe, I believe. I remember going to it once or twice. When I need stuff, I just call the 1-800 number, and they mail it down to me within about a week. So that's how I do it. Okay. So that program, the videotape, you can take down the information if you want more information about that. Other things that might be helpful is that I've done 5 different seminars, something like this, but on things on personal development, goal setting, planning, finances. And these are all on my website, which you can get, and you can just print these out for free. So that's what I might want to recommend. This is my business card from my last parish. I still have about 500 left, so I'll give you this. So the phone number won't work anymore. You'll get my old parish. However, the email address and the website will work. So if you want to take one of these cards, and when you go to the website, just go under seminars, and There's five different seminars, and you can just read them online or you can print them out, and that might help you as well. No, things like talks, things like talks, I have not put those on the website. Just, I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind for talks or seminars or retreats. That might be a good idea. Here what we can do is just sort of conclude by going over these two handouts. In fact, I'll pass these around as well. This is like the 4-hour time management seminar put on by the Franklin Planner System. And you can buy these through the Franklin Planner System at the store or through the mail. Okay, let's start with this one, which says the Franklin Planner. This is actually from the website. This is page 12 and 13 of a 15-page seminar that's actually on the website, but I just copied these two pages because I thought it might be helpful to you. This reviews some of the things that we talked about. The left side of the page is for the day's activities and the prioritized daily task list. Now, one thing I did not mention was that in the prioritized daily task list, after you write everything down that you want to do that particular day, you then would write A, B, or C next to that. And the A would be something that's vital that you really must do that day. B would be important that you'd like to do that day. And C would be relatively unimportant, but if you have time, you can do that as well. So they recommend that after you write down the task, you then would prioritize it A, B's, or C's. You might have 5 A's, 5 B's, 5 C's, for example. Then they recommend that you numerically write down which one will be your top priority of the A's, like A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, B1, B2, B3, B4, B5, C, same thing. Then I say that it's important to start with the most vital and most important activities and then work your way down the list. And it says then when you complete a task, they recommend that you make a check mark next to that task. If you notice in the upper left-hand corner of July 15th, you'll see the symbols that they use. They use 5 symbols. Does everybody see where it says task complete? Is it a little check mark? And this is found in this book here, page 38, upper left-hand corner. Task completed, put a check mark. If you're going to transfer the task onto the next day, put an arrow and move the task to the following day. If you're just going to not worry about it anymore, just put an X and delete the task. If you delegate it, you can put the person's initial. Let's say you delegate it to a person named George. You can put a G next to that and then a circle, and then you can put the check mark when that person has completed that task. If you have a secretary at work and you ask her to make a reservation for you for a flight, you could just put that task, flight reservations, put T for Terry, and then you can check it off when it's done. Let's say you call somebody and they're not home, and so what do you do about that? Because it's really not a task complete. You can put a dot next to that. Or what I do is just put a little half check. Instead of like a full check, I just put the little line going down, which meant I tried to do that, and then once I reach the person, I'll put a complete check mark. Is that pretty clear about those symbols? Okay, going back to the handout, it says an arrow if you transfer the task to the next day. If you delegate it, put a circle with a person's initials. At the bottom of the page is daily expenses. Right-hand side, record of events. We talked about that. This is for journaling, entries, thoughts, ideas, agendas for meetings, phone conversations. It does help if you have to call somebody to use a phone agenda. Remember Jim Rohn once saying that he had an international company. His phone bill for the company was $30,000 a month. Because sometimes they would get on talking to Hong Kong or the Philippines or Korea and talk for a long time. So he sat everybody down with him and said, before you make a call, I want you to have a phone agenda of write down the 3 or 5 or 10 things you have to cover with that company or that person and then get off the phone after that. So he was drastically able to reduce his expenses that way by using a phone agenda. Now, this brings us really to the most important aspect of the time management system. Obviously, it's a great system for just scheduling events that you have to do, but there's a much deeper level, and that has to do with your values and goals. The idea is to try to get daily tasks on your daily list of things that have a high priority, that would really help you achieve your goals and be in conformity with your values, and get those on your daily task list. The way you do that, they use the example of a pyramid, just because the base of the pyramid, which is the foundation of our lives, are our values. Our values are our highest priorities. And our values would be such things as our relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your health, whatever. I mean, you have to write those things down on your own. Above those, and the next level of the pyramid, would be long-range goals. Above that would be intermediate goals, which could be monthly goals, weekly goals, and then daily tasks would be at the very top part of the pyramid. And I have an example at the bottom of the page. If someone values family life but ignores his family, spends all his time at the office, he will not have inner peace because his daily tasks violate one of his governing values. You always find this to be the case. If a person violates their governing values, let's say one of their values is relationship with God, but if they, let's say, skip church, what's going to happen is they're not going to have inner peace because they've just violated one of their values, is to have a good relationship with God, and yet they've deliberately sinned. Therefore, they will lose inner peace because of that. That's how really everything works. Let's say you have one of your values is a good, loving relationship with your spouse, but you're spending all the time at the office and never calling the spouse, never spending time. You're not going to be at peace because one of your values was a harmonious family life or harmonious relationship with your spouse, but you're undermining that, so there will not be inner peace. It says on the top of the next page, the secret to the Franklin Planner is to spend, now they recommend spending 5 to 7 hours writing down your values. Now you might be able to do this in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, it's up to you, however much time you want to spend on it, but it's just a once and done thing. You don't have to do this every week or every month, or you just do it once for your lifetime. Now, things can change over the years, however, but they recommend at least spending some time writing down your values and then writing a paragraph about each of them. And then writing down your long-range goals. And then when you spend your 10 minutes in planning and solitude, ask yourself the question, besides everything else I have to do today, what can I take from my values and goals and put them in my daily tasks? What can I do in my 2 to 3 hours of discretionary time today? Almost everybody does have, if you look at it, 2 or 3 hours of discretionary time each day. Most people fill it up watching television. However, what you should do is look over your values and goals, which you, when you leave here today, spend time writing down your values, writing down your goals. And then when you prepare the next day, ask yourself, what can I do from my values and goals sections? What can I take and put on my daily task list? Now, the example here I think might be helpful. Let's say one of your values is to improve your relationship with our Lord. And one of your long-range goals would be to read the New Testament or the 10 best books ever written about the life of Christ, like Bishop Sheen's book and Frank Sheed's book. Your short-term monthly goal would be to read one book. Your daily task would be to read 10 pages. And I said, this is really the genius of the Franklin Planner. Reading these 10 pages would show up on your prioritized daily task list. Let me just use the blackboard to illustrate this. So it says, okay, here's the they just use the example of the pyramid just to make it helpful because it has these different sections. The analogy that I'm giving you here is one of your values, which is at the base, is your relationship with Christ, okay? And so you want to grow closer to our Lord. And many of the saints say the way you get closer to Jesus is by reading the New Testament, by, like St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. If you don't know the New Testament, the Scripture, you can't have as personal relationship with our Lord as you would like to have. So this is the section on your values, which is always at the base of everything. So a long-range goal, which would be, let's say, it's a year goal, that during the year 2000, you want to read the New Testament. I'll just put here, New Testament. And this would be a long-range goal. Now, you're looking at your month, and under your master task list, you would say, during this month, I really think I could read the Gospel of John. Okay, and so this would be, let's say, a goal for the month, monthly goal. So how do you read the Gospel of John during the month of July? Well, you get out your little planner, and you write, I want to read, let's say there's 30 chapters, I forget how many chapters are in John, but let's say there's 28 or 30 chapters, you would just read one chapter. So do you see where that would show up then on your, that would then show up on your prioritized daily task list. So besides everything else you want to do that day, you might just say, read one chapter of the Gospel of John. Do you see how this works? And then I think this is just an ingenious way of growing towards of achieving intermediate goals, long-range goals, and living in conformity with your values. The other example I give here, if your goal is to be a good parent, a good long-range goal would be to read the 10 best books on parenting, like Gary Smalley's book, The Key to Your Child's Heart, Zig Ziglar's book, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. Your short-term goal would be, which would be a monthly goal, would be to read one book during that month. And your daily task would be to read 10 pages of that book. See how that works? So in your daily task, just say 10 pages of parenting book. And then it says the key to this system is that this is not a to-do list, but a prioritized daily task list that's in harmony with your short-term, long-term goals and your values. The key to making the Franklin Planner system work is asking yourself the question, besides everything else I have to do today, what can I take from my values and goals and get them onto my daily task list? See, the key is how you spend your day, how you spend your tasks, what you do each day. And then in the back of the planner, there's other sections, which I'll briefly mention. In the back, there's different tabs. There's a whole section for values and goals. And I have maybe about 20 pages of values and goals here in my planner. And they even have pages that are helpful to you because it has the little pyramid up at the top and has values, goals, intermediate goals, and daily tasks. If it has a value, you put the value there. In fact, I believe it's even in your page. You take a look in this book. I think it's in here. Yeah, just take a look at page 72 in the sample month. Page 72. What I'd recommend is that you begin using this to write down your values. And it just gives a few examples here, like your professional work, physical fitness, whatever. You might have certainly other values than that. You would then write the value, and then you write a statement of that value of how you wish to be in that particular aspect of your life. Page 74, they recommend taking a little bit of time to write down a mission statement, just as companies and corporations have mission statements. You should, it would be a good idea to write down the mission statement. Parishes have mission statements. It's a good idea to write those things down. That's covered on the next couple pages. Page 78 talks about roles. Everybody has different roles. Some as a husband, a role as a father, a role as an employee, a role as a Catholic, a role as a neighbor, a role as a son. There's all sorts of roles that we have, and there are ways to work on that. And just keep your finger there in that page between 78 and 79, and go to the very last page of your sample month, and what you'll see is break off one of these little bookmarks. On the last page, just it's perforated so you can take this off. So break that off and use this for this month as your sort of as your bookmark so you don't lose your place each day. Now if you actually get a regular planner, you'll see that it comes with like a fancy, you know, a fancy like a clear thing that you can use. But for the time being, take this one and stick it in the page on July 15th. And this is actually something that Stephen Covey developed, and it's to incorporate a Covey idea into the Franklin Planner idea, which is that you want to sharpen your saw. You want to become better spiritually, academically, emotionally, physically. And so this is a daily reminder that you move from page to page, and you might want to use this and write down some ideas for yourself on this, and that can help you. The next page, page 80, talks about setting goals, and this will help you in determining some of your long-range goals, short-range goals, and intermediate things that will help you achieve those goals. So again, they recommend spending a few hours writing these things down. I would also recommend that you do that sometime this weekend or within the next week, that you spend that time doing that. The other few things that are in the back of a planner, usually a date timer or a Franklin planner would have these things in the back, would be the section for addresses and phone numbers. Again, this is so helpful because everything will be in one book. So instead of having other books, some people say, well, Father, what do I do about my address book already? Well, if there's not that many names, I'd recommend you transfer the information into here. Or I mean, there's other ways you could do it. You could just Xerox those pages and tape them into here, or you can copy them, whatever you want to do. But it is helpful to have all addresses and phone numbers in the book that's going to be with you all the time. This is helpful even for emergencies, that you'll have everybody's information here. In the back, there's sections for ready reference. And one thing I like about this is that it has a dictionary of the 6,000 most commonly misspelled words. And so, in fact, I remember when they first did it, they misspelled the word dictionary. And so they had to redo that. It also has area codes and zip codes and first aid information there. Key information is very helpful as well. For example, you can put your blood type or allergies you might have or allergies to certain kinds of medications, place of employment, travel information. This is a wonderful thing. Before you leave town, it has a checklist of things that you might need to do. And I wrote a whole bunch of things that I want to take with me on a regular trip. So before I leave on that trip, I'll make sure I go through that list. And that way I've never forgotten anything on any trips in the last 10 years since I've used that. As I mentioned, the section in the back would be the section for your values and goals. There's also a place for different tabs. And what you would do is get some blank pages and use these sections in the back for different tabs. And what I happen to use them for are talks that I would give, or homilies, or writing down people's names from my new parish. If I meet somebody, I write the name down, so I'll try to remember it. Notes from different meetings, And you can set this up however you wish to set it up. Those six tabs, you just put maybe five blank pages of paper in between each one, and you can use it for whatever you want to use it for. Yes?
Do you have a time zone in there for
internet? Yes, it does. There is a time zone in there. Okay, good. And just finishing up this page, it says some of the reasons for using a time management system is to get an extra 2 hours each day. And I really believe just by using a day timer, whether it be a Franklin planner or some other day timer, using it every day, spending time in planning and solitude, you will increase your productivity at least 25% the first day and the first week, which is quite a bit. So, and this quote on the bottom of page 13 I think is very important. A successful time manager is willing to do what an unsuccessful time manager is not willing to do. So again, you can't overemphasize that enough, that you have to spend the time, I would say at least 10 minutes, in the planning and solitude. If you do that, you will, I believe, get an extra hour or 2 hours a day. And then we can just finish up by looking at this other handout. This might be of interest to you, something I put together a couple years ago. And I got this from Zig Ziglar. I was at one of his seminars once, and he has something like this, and I redid it a little bit. But the idea here is that you can ask yourself how you're doing in these areas of your life on a scale of 1 to 10. You can sort of grade yourself by taking a pencil and coloring in between 1 and 10 where you are on this particular list. For example, let's say start with spiritual life, relationship with God, and the church. On a scale of 1 to 10, ask yourself, where are you right now in your relationship with God and the church and sacraments and prayer? And you might be, let's say, a 7 or a 6. Well, that will give you some idea of sort of taking your spiritual temperature of where you are. Then you want to ask yourself, what can you do over the next week, over the next month, to improve that a few levels? I mean, there are people that, let's say, in the Catholic faith that, well, their relationship with God might be down to the 3 because they haven't gone to confession in 10 years. They don't really go to Mass. Just by going to confession and going to Sunday Mass, that can move that the relationship from, let's say, a 3 to a 5 or a 7 or an 8. And then daily prayer and spiritual reading and the rosary, these things can move you then towards a better relationship with God. So, again, it's a good idea to evaluate yourself in these different categories. The next one is health and physical fitness. The next one is relationship with parents or brothers or sisters. Emotional well-being, friendships, finances, financial responsibility, your job and career, your continuing education, relationship with your children, relationship with your spouse, hobbies, skills, activities, and then your intellectual growth. These are just some aspects of people's lives. There might be more. You might be able to combine some of these. But sort of a fun experiment to do is when you go home, take a pencil and color in each of the areas. And you'll find something very interesting. Let's say some top businessmen might be under finances, they might be a 10, but under spirituality, they might be a 1. Or somebody, let's say, is spending, let's say their health is a 10, but their spiritual life is a 3. Because we have this in our society where people put more emphasis upon the physical life than upon the spiritual life. Then, let's say a person might be spending more time with their friends than they are with their spouse. And so this is one way to evaluate where you are in the different areas of your life. And to then color it in from 1 to 7 or 1 to 8 or 1 to 10 under each of these areas. And then see how well balanced the wheel is. Okay, because you might have like spokes that go up to 10, spokes that go out to 2, spokes that go out to 7, spokes that go out to 5. And then you can sort of draw the circle and see how it would look, whether it be... Now, some people say, well, what about the finances? What should we do in regards to that? Finance is not really like how much money you saved or anything like that. It's but your financial stewardship, your financial responsibility. Like, do you pay your bills? Are you in debt? You know, that's what that's referring to. And lastly, just turn over the page to some keys to finances. And I'll just briefly mention some tips. Jim Rohn says to try to live on 70% of your income, give 10% to charity. Something all of us should be trying to do is tithe, give 10% to charity, and try to invest 20%. It says a poor person spends his money and saves the rest. A rich person invests his money and spends what's left. Isn't that a neat definition? I think that's very true. Is that, you know, some people just spend their money and then if they have anything left over, they'll save it. Whereas a smart person, once they get their paycheck, will invest something right from the top and then live on the remainder. So pay yourself first. And the key to finances is spend less than you make. Isn't that brilliant? I don't know who thought about that, but there's profound wisdom in that. Spend less than you make and pay yourself first. The average American lives on 110% of their income. And it says, you can go broke earning $10,000 a month just by spending $11,000 a month. The television, like, money is morally neutral. You can use it for great good or great harm. And then this little box might be helpful to you, that it's very easy in our society to be good stewards of our income. And that is starting from an early age, let's say the age of 20. Some of you are well below that age. I see a few here, one's 13. How old are you? Very good. So let's say you have a job, babysitting job, and or you cut the grass like I used to do. You know, if you can, from the time you start working at age 20 or even earlier, just invest a certain amount of money, if you just get 10% interest, by the time you're 65, there's over $1 million in that account. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, if you wait till you're 30, you have to invest more, let's say $266. If you wait till you're 40, you have to invest close to $800 to have over $1 million by the time you retire at age 65. And if you're over 50, you have to invest over about $2,500. Now, you know, this money could be left to charity. You can do whatever you want with it. But it's just, I think, an interesting example of how if a person starts early enough and even just saves a little bit and just with compound interest of 10%, it's possible to be good stewards of your finances, to be able to pay your bills, get out of debt, and to help a lot of people through charity. What I'd recommend is getting like a pocket size edition. And I really wish I had this in high school and college and the seminary. Like I said, I didn't get it until I was ordained a priest. I really would have liked to have it when I was your age and much younger as a teenager or as a young adult. I think it would have been very, very a good thing. Well, it'd be a nice idea in the evening, either after dinner or before you go to sleep, just writing down, comparing your calendars and coordinating things and making sure that you know about the different events. And so I would just say, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes together after dinner, just looking over your calendar and planning things. You can plan your weekly dates on that or your monthly date. I always recommend couples taking each other out for dinner once a month or once a week so you can plan time together. Again, the purpose of a planner is to give you more free time to do what you want to do and to enable you to work on your spiritual life and make sure that your family has harmony, your relationships are good, that you're working on your health and your intellectual growth, your spiritual growth. So I think just with husbands and wives sitting down and talking about those things would be a great idea.